Tell you what, if that doesn't get you, man, there's something wrong in your heart. If you would please turn your Bibles to Two Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, what a blessed week this has been so far. And man, to see that what God done last night blessed my heart. And I was wanting to preach another message last night. And I've got it ready, and it's sitting on my bed right now. My trailer is where it's at, and I had it ready. It was going to be the introduction to a missions conference because I knew that the pastor might want me to preach. I was only supposed to preach last night, not tonight. And so, but then I came in here and I saw the theme. And automatically God hit me with what I was supposed to preach, and I knew it. But man, there was just difficulty getting here. There was difficulty with our trailer, and there was difficulties in other areas. My wife reminded me, Wayne, it's the devil trying to get you sidetracked. Yeah. And you've got to stay focused. You've got to stay focused what God wants you to do. And so let me challenge you, Samuel. Your daddy is your best friend, and now he's your pastor. But now he's going to be your instructor and your teacher. What a great privilege you have. He has planted churches and he's doing something. And in what I'm doing, those that are making it are those that have been raised up in it, that knows the heartbeat. They've made the mistakes and they know how to make you better than what they are. And so you've got a great future ahead of you, young man. And don't give up what God's given you and take it and run with it. And man, what an opportunity. But tonight I want to bring to you a message. Last night we brought the message on three men needed. Three men needed. Now, of course, we see the man that will save, and that's the Savior. Yep. And we see the man who will seek, and that's the sinner. And we also see, too, the man who will serve, and that's the believer. Yep. And those three things are necessary for missions. Those things are necessary for this local church in order for you to reach Denton. But also too, those three things are needed if we're to reach Austin, Texas. Those three things are needed if we're to reach India. Can you imagine that? A man from Mexico going to India. Man, praise the Lord. God's calling other men in other areas to go out. But with that comes great conflict. Right. And in great conflict, God gives His grace.
Yep.
But as God gives His grace, God gives you men and women that have gone through it, and they say, I want to be an encouragement to you. Here in this passage of Scripture, Paul's doing that to the church of Corinth. But all around the world today, let me just say this, all around the world today, there are men and women, boys and girls, who have surrendered to the ministry. They left home, they said goodbye to grandma and grandpa, and they said goodbye to friends, and said goodbye to lifestyle, and they're on the mission field right now.
Yep.
Right now in England, it's 2:00 in the morning. If you were to go to Israel, it'll be about 3 or 4 o'clock. And around the world, people are beginning to wake up and they're asking God. I mean, they're in the ministry and they're starting churches and man, they're wanting to go reach the Indians or people in the Middle East. And as they're going through these things, they've planted churches and as they planted churches, they've trained men to go take them over. And as they've gone to start another work, in the back of their mind, they're wondering, how's that church doing? And as they're asking, how's that church doing? They've got their mind on another work that they're planning. But you see, there's wolves that come in into those churches that they've started, and they try to mix it up, and they try to change the doctrine. And as they try to change the doctrine, they try to cut down the pastor that started it, try to cut him down, and try to build them up.
Yeah. Right.
And what does that do to a pastor, a missionary, that God has directed their lives to go all the way around the world and to help start a work for the Lord Jesus? Because it's His church.
Yep. Amen.
But He's the messenger. Mm-hmm. He's the one that has seen these babies grow up. and then to leave them. And as he's left them, some wolves have come in and tried to destroy it. And they're hurting. And as they're hurting, they can't leave a new work to come back and take care of it. They can't. And that missionary needs to stay on the field, and that missionary needs to stay going forward and keep on going forward and keep on going forward and send someone there to help them, or maybe send someone with that new work and come back to help that other church. Why? Because of finances. Why? Because they're busy. Why? You just can't leave a baby church and go to another church. You just can't do that. That's why here in this passage of Scripture, the same thing happened in Paul, with Paul. We see the Corinthians was, the church of Corinth was started on Paul's second missionary journey. And as he was there, we see that a work was started, and man, we read about the church of Corinth and great things was done there. And as great things was done there, we see that as he had left that church, he left it in the hands of some leaders. But, you know, Paul had heard that there was some immorality in the church. And then later Paul received word that there was divisions among them. And after that, he had sent Timothy to check on the church in order for there to be a good report. Can you imagine a pastor, after he had started to work and after he had left it, to hear these kind of things are going on? What do you think that does to a missionary?
Yeah.
What do you think that does to a pastor? And here's Paul, he's trying to encourage them to get right and trying to encourage them to keep on keeping on and remember what you've been taught. But as things are keep going on here, Paul, he's continued to go on, but after this he finds out that there's false teaching that started in these churches. And this individual that's come in, these false teachers, these false prophets, they've come in and they tried to make themselves look like Paul by tearing down Paul.
Yeah.
Try to tear down the leadership. Try to tear down the doctrine. And these babies that was in this church, man, they weren't strong enough to fight against them. And as they were not strong enough, they kind of gave in to it. And as they gave in to it, Paul wrote a letter to them, a severe letter, and many of them repented of it.
Yeah.
And as they repented of it, Paul was excited about this. He goes, all right, they're back on the right track. Why? Because Paul had a mind for souls. Paul had a mind for men and women
yep.
to come closer to God
Amen.
And not him.
Yep.
That's what this missions conference is all about. For your eyes to be open to missions around the world and what missionaries go through. And that's why last night there was three men needed in order for missions to be successful. In order to replace those missionaries that are on the field. And when there needs to be help at another church, there's someone that's trained to go over there and help them. And like the pastor said, there's men that are ready, there's men that are needed to go to other churches here in America, but there's none. But in that process, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth and was trying to encourage them. What kept his zeal through this trial? What kept his zeal through these difficulties? What kept his zeal in moving forward as a missionary? And as he's writing this message to the church of Corinth, he's also teaching you and I what we should do in this missions conference and what we should be thinking about in order for missions to go forward. And he's telling the church of Corinth, now don't you forget about giving to the poor in Jerusalem. There's going to be a collection. Don't you forget about that. That's important.
Yeah.
But he made sure their hearts were right in order for the collection to be right, because he had a mind for those people. And he did that by telling them, these are the very things that encouraged me to keep going forward. And tonight, the Apostle Paul is giving us several areas tonight to consider to keep going forward for missions as a believer. And I want to bring to you tonight, look at verses 14 through 21. And it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That if he died for all, then they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto who? Unto him. Unto Jesus Christ." Now this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm in verse 15 right now. "But unto him which died for them and rose again, wherefore henceforth know we no other man after this flesh, after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ," let me ask you tonight, how many of you are in Christ tonight? Raise your hand.
Amen.
This ought to be your life verse.
Yep.
Look here. He is a new creature. You are a new creature.
Amen.
Look here. Old things are passed away. What do you mean? All of your past sins, your past life, your past guilt. Meaning, you don't let the devil mess you up, remind you about these things. You don't let your friends remind you about it. You don't let your parents remind you about it. But look here. "Behold, all things are become new." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because of the blood stains. Yep. The blood stains. The blood stains of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 17. Verse 18. "And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, but had committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What Paul is saying here is that God gave him and others the word of reconciliation to preach unto them at Corinth, and by them receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their old past are gone. That's all gone. They are a new creature. And because of that, through Paul, Jesus Christ then brought them to and reconciled them to a holy and righteous God.
Amen.
And he's reminding them, hey, forget that false doctrine that you heard. Remember where you came from. Remember that doctrine of grace. Remember the blood. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the ministry of reconciliation. Remember who brought you to God and not themselves. But look here in verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." He said, "We." Who's we? Those that were with Paul. But also, too, those that was in that church, too, that knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this. I want you to look with me real quick. And I want you to read verse 20 with me, because this is my text verse, and this will help all of us tonight. Ready? Verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Look at that. We pray you in Christ's stead. That word pray means beg. We beg you in the place of Christ. Meaning, they are ambassadors. They're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you, we beg you, as if Christ is right here. We beg you, come back to God. Hey, remember the gospel. Remember the ministry of reconciliation. Remember that. God besought you by us. And tonight, there are several areas that Paul is telling them that encouraged them, that kept them going. And tonight, I believe those areas are there for you too. In order for you to understand the flow of this missions conference, the flow of why we support missions and why missions are going around the world, you need to do your part here.
Amen.
Number one, I want you to see, in verse 9, and that is the very thing that Paul is teaching the church of Corinth. He said, it was my motive is what kept me going. examining his motive. The motive to be an ambassador of reconciliation. What was my motive that kept me going? Look at verse 9. That we may be accepted of him. It was a personal motive. A personal motive. He knew that one day he would have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew that, and he wanted to make sure every day, everything that he did, everything that he achieved, that it would be accepted of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, is this accepted of you? Or would this build me up? He wanted to make sure that everything he did, that we may be accepted of him about this ministry of reconciliation, that it's all about Christ and not about us. It's all about the church and not about us. It's all about the poor and not about us. It's all about souls and not about us. It's all about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what he died for. He died for the church. He died for reconciling man back to God.
Amen.
That we might be accepted of him. But also too, that was a personal motive of Paul. As a missionary preaching, that's my personal motive as well. When I knock on doors, you think that's accepted of him? When I hand out a gospel tract, do you think that's accepted of him? Sure it is. Man, when I go meet someone on the street or whatever, and the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to him, you think that's accepted him? Yes.
Amen.
But there's also a penalty motive that Paul thought about. And he's telling the church of Corinth. Look at verse 10. That we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine that? This month, this week, as you're sitting here in this missions conference, and as you see these missionaries, and as you know what we're supposed to be doing and reaching Denton, and as you know what you're supposed to be doing and being that soul winner that you need to be, that you are a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the only voice that he'll ever have. You are the only Bible he'll ever read, and that we all will give an account for our salvation. We all will give an account on who we speak to. We all will give an account for every word. We all will give an account for every action. But also too, we will give an account when we say no, when God has asked us to go. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That God will judge us on that day after we pass from this life. And we stand before our glorious Savior who died for us. There's a penalty motive. There's a personal motive. There is a penalty motive. But there is a motive of knowing that what we're supposed to do when we don't do it. Knowing what we're supposed to do, but we delay. Knowing what we're supposed to do, and we say, oh, maybe tomorrow, maybe whatever. But look with me at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, to think if Jesus Christ comes back tomorrow and raptures us out and he finds you just sitting idle, not doing what God wants you to do. Oh, my soul. But also too, to know the terror of the Lord, that man, there are those that's going to die and go to hell. And if you have the gospel and you refuse to give it, you will give an account for that.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Paul said to the church of Corinth, he goes, this is what keeps me going. This is what keeps me moving forward. He said, I was on one missionary journey. I was on a second missionary journey and a third. And that's what kept him going, because he knew he had to evaluate his motive. He knew that there was a penalty. He knew that there was a knowing. But he also knew that there was a principle about the whole thing of the ministry of reconciliation. And that is, look at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means holds us together. Meaning that when I want to quit, the love of God was so dear in forgiving me and giving me grace and mercy and long-suffering. Man, that wonderful love is what keeps me in the groove. It's what keeps me in the furrow. What keeps me plowed. How can I turn on God when he's loved me so much? How can I quit on God on Mission Week? How can I quit on God and not give in that decision when it comes time to give just a little bit what he's given us?
That's right.
that very verse right there, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. He's telling the church of Corinth, you want to know what activated my faith? You want to know what activated my zeal? You want to know what activated me in moving forward? He said that verse right there. The love of Christ is the very thing that activated Paul to have such an extraordinary faith and have an extraordinary zeal. Because we see that Christ was shown to die for all mankind.
Amen.
To think after Paul had persecuted all those churches, but God still loved him. He died for him. To think what God's done for you, and God is asking you just to give a little bit what He's given you. And that should be our motive. It should be a personal motive. It should be, think about a purity motive. We should be thinking about a motive of knowing. But it should be the principal thing of what Jesus Christ did. That love of Christ. To think on how He went on the cross of Calvary. On how that He was humiliated. On how that He was whipped on His back 39 times. How the beard was plucked from His face. On how the thorns was placed upon His brow. And how that as that coagulated blood was dried on His robe, they ripped it off of Him. And how that He was spat upon that day. But He not complained. Why? When He died on the cross, He had you on His mind.
Amen.
He had me. What great love. What great love. That before you was even born, He died for all mankind. And He has just been waiting for you to come and accept His gift.
Yes, sir.
What a motive.
Amen.
That keeps you going forward. What a motive when you don't want to wake up on Saturday morning, where you'd rather wash your car, you'd rather clean your house, you'd rather go shopping, you'd rather go wherever. That love of Christ constrained me to come out on an organized visitation on Saturday. Where you can learn on how to reach others and duplicate yourself for Christ.
Amen.
Paul is telling the church of Corinth, that's what's keep me going. This is where my zeal is. This is what activated me to keep going forward. And this is what He's telling you too. This is what He's telling me. But there's missionaries around the world. That's what keeps them going too. But in the meanwhile, when they're down, they want you to keep going in order to encourage them. Because when their finances are down, they're going to need you to send that gift one day. And if your zeal is down, and if your faith is down, and man, your giving is going to be down, and you cannot be a help to them. Paul is saying, this thing activated me. It was my motive. But also too, secondly, it was His ministry. His ministry. All of us in this room, we have a ministry, whether you realize it or not. If you're saved tonight, and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, would you raise your hand?
Amen.
God's given you a ministry.
Right.
A ministry. And what is that? The ministry of reconciliation.
Yep.
Look at verse 18. You may not believe it or not, but this young man right here, I don't know your name, but you got a bunch of friends that I don't know. Will your friends listen to me? Nah, that little short white guy, no, he ain't gonna. Nah, don't listen to him. But they'll listen to you. You got a ministry that I'll never have. This young lady right here, she brought me around her friends, they'll scram. But she's got a ministry I'll never have. This young lady right here, she has a ministry that I'll never have, an influence. This young lady, all of y'all have a ministry that the pastor will never have.
Right.
What is it? The ministry of reconciliation. Man, when my mother and father was fighting, my mother's a little bit shorter than me. She had to get a pot pan to beat my dad over the head. And she did it. What happened to reconcile my mom and dad after a fight? The police came to make peace. Who came in your life to reconcile you to God? Jesus did.
Amen.
And you know who did that. And all God is wanting you, He said, you've got a ministry. That ministry means serving, a service in order to go tell others to bring Christ into their life on how they are alienated from God because of sin. They're alienated from God because of Satan. And they want you, and God wants you to tell the story on what brought you to the Lord, or brought you to God through Jesus Christ, to tell that story. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And by the Holy Spirit, men, they'll receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And after you're witnessing to them and through the scriptures, and then they'll say, I want to know about Jesus. And as you take them to the pastor, or as you lead them to Christ, then what happens is you are standing in Christ's place, bringing them on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. To who? To God. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. And your ministry, and your ministry, and your ministry, and your ministry, yep. And your ministry, and young man, your ministry. My ministry. A personal ministry. A personal service on His behalf. Representing who? Jesus. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God. That word all, does that mean everything?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you?
Yep.
Does that mean your children?
Amen.
Does that mean your wife?
Yep.
Does that mean your husband? All things.
Yep.
Does that mean your job? Does that mean your finances?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Does that mean your future? Look here. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We are reconciled because of who? Jesus Christ. Now we belong to God the Father through Jesus. Now we belong to Him. Now we have a new nature. Now we are a new creature. Now we have a new home.
Amen.
Now we have a new life.
Amen.
Now we have a new future.
Yep.
And now we can rely on Him and not this dirty old world.
Amen.
Had reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. Man, we know what God's done for us. Man, we should be excited to go out and reach others and bring them to the very one who saved us.
Yeah. Amen.
Man, when I got saved, all those people I dealt drugs to, and man, there was a young lady who gave up her children for drugs. I mean, because of what I did, man, I was so horrified. Man, I wanted to tell everyone why, because man, I experienced the love of Christ. Man, I experienced the love of the Father. I knew I was going to heaven. I knew Jesus now. And man, I had peace.
Amen.
I told everybody because I wanted them to know of my new love.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you met your husband, did you tell everybody about your husband? Sure you did. When you met your wife, hey, did you show her picture around everybody? Hey, look at my new girlfriend, or look at my new wife. Why? Because you had a love.
Amen.
Why can't we do the same for Jesus?
Uh-huh.
Ministry of reconciliation. When we look at this ministry, and just like any ministry, there's going to be some cost to it. You see, there is an expense to the ministry of reconciliation. And the person that paid the ultimate expense, look at verse 19, and we see that in the Lord Jesus Christ, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
But what did He do? The Lord Jesus Christ took those sins and imputed His righteousness onto them, to where when God the Father looks at them, He sees the righteousness of Christ and He doesn't see their sin. And now God the Father can then say, hey, I can look at you and now I can receive you because of what Christ did.
Amen.
I read that verse to say that God did not force Jesus Christ to die for you. But Jesus willingly lay down his life. Then would it be too much to ask us, ourselves, why can't we pay the cost? Why can't we pay the cost when we're asked to give it? When we're asked to witness? When we're asked to serve in the local church? There is a cost. There is an expense. And Jesus paid the ultimate cost, and He showed the wonderful example of being an ambassador, the wonderful example of being a missionary, on how that He carried His cross all the way to the very end. You see, Jesus Christ, He left a heavenly home. He left His Father. He came and lived amongst the heathen. He died to self in order to reach out to mankind. He was obedient to reconcile man unto God. What a great ambassador. What a great missionary. What an example of the cost to reach the lost. And this week, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask you for a commitment. He said, I gave my life. I just want you to step out in faith in order for me to provide. By doing so, I'm going to increase your faith. In doing so, you'll be able to reach souls. In doing so, you're going to help missionaries around the world. In doing so, you're going to help this local church. But you see, with every ministry, there's an expense, but there's also an inexperience. Paul is telling them, hey, the reason why I keep on going is because the experiences that I had with you. Look at verse 17. The experience of those who were freed from the grip of sin. Where we see in verse 17 that He is a new creature in Christ. When you're out there and you pay the cost and you're out there soul winning and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you see someone that is saved and you see someone that are coming to church and you see that they're free from the grip of sin. They're free from alcohol. They're free from drugs. They're free from addictions. They're free where, man, no more can they be burdened down anymore. They have a happiness in their life.
Yep. Amen.
A new creature. Could you imagine what I had looked like 27 years ago? You would have never caught me in this church. You would have not have caught me listening to a soul winner. I was a weird preacher. How weird. But someone loved me enough to say, I don't care how much he cusses at me. I don't care how much he rejects me. I don't care. I love him so much. I'm going to keep on, keep on, and keep on. After 6 months, Ed Tuttle kept on until God spoke to me.
Amen.
Why? Because he knew what it was like to be free from the grip of sin. That's what motivated him. That's what kept him going. To know that there's an experience in the ministry of reconciliation, that there will be those that will be free from the grip of sin. There will be those that will be, that will experience the freedom of the guilt of sin. In verse 19, not imputing their trespasses. Meaning that you don't have to worry about that guilt no more. Don't have to worry about that past no more. Don't worry about those old cronies you used to hang around speaking about you. It's all under the blood. But hey, the devil will bring up your past. The devil will bring it up, but in the eyes of Almighty God, He doesn't remember no more. Why? Because you're His child. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And man, you're free from the guilt of sin. You're free from the grasp of sin. But also too, you're free in verse 21. Experience from the grip of sin. Verse 17, free from the guilt of sin in verse 19, and freedom from the grasp of sin in verse 21, that ye may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Meaning sin can't touch you no more and keep you in hell. Sin can't keep you no more from the Father. Why? Because it's under the blood. Those blood stains. What an experience. Have you ever led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ and you saw them happy and excited, and you saw them in church and you saw them get excited for God?
Amen.
God used you. But how often did you experience that? Not often. It's costly. It takes time on a Saturday morning. It takes time to pray. It takes time to study to ensure that you know how to disciple them. It takes time. But also too, in these seats this week, it's gonna be costly. And it's gonna be, and that cost is, you're gonna experience those saved that comes to your pocketbook. You're gonna experience those saved that from the decision you're making and your faith promise given. But also too, you're gonna experience something greater than that by you staying in your place and just following your pastor and trying to reach Denton.
Amen.
Like Christ, we are ambassadors with an earthly ministry. Reconcile the lost. Preach in Christ crucified. Present the need for laborers for the harvest. But also too, as Paul said, we pray you in Christ's stead. They said, we prayed for you. We labored for you. Because of us, you was reached.
Yep. That's right.
And so now here is what Jesus is telling you. Because of those that came into your life, you have a ministry. It's going to be costly. It's going to be expensive. But also too, there's a third area that Paul said. He said they're the motive for the ministry of reconciliation that kept me up going. There was the ministry that I remembered that, yes, it's costly, but it's the experience of seeing those that are saved that keeps me going. But also, too, there's a method. Look at verse 20. This is my text verse, and I'm almost finished. The method of an ambassador. The method of an ambassador of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? One sent by one of high dignitary. And the highest dignitary I know is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if God's been speaking to you, then man, what a high calling. I am considered an ambassador to go to England to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to also to partner with you representing Amazing Grace Baptist Church. But in the meanwhile, in Matthew 28, Jesus Christ commissions the church to go out and represent Him. Who is the church? You. And as you go out and represent the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that make you? Very important to represent the Savior. Where in verse 20 it says, we pray you in Christ's stead. That's something very important. God is wanting you to beg someone in His place. Beg someone to come to Him. The method, being a soul winner, being a disciple, being a servant, being whatever God would want you to be, to represent the Savior, to be that gospel message, not only to speak it, but to live it, but when they see you, to have a message. What is your message on the streets this week? I mentioned you are the only Bible they'll ever read. If there's not a gospel message, what is the message? We pray you in Christ's stead. Paul was telling the church of Corinth, man, get away from that false doctrine. Get away from those people that are preaching the law. You must give back to the law. But also too, I believe that we need to get away from the law of our flesh and get back to a surrender to the mind of Christ and walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
In doing so, look at verse 20. In doing so, we beg you, we pray you in Christ's stead, as an ambassador, who are you representing? You're representing a supreme God.
Yes, sir.
a supreme God. As though God, look at verse 20, as though God did beseech you by us. To think, if my wife and kids did not follow me, we would have never represented a supreme God in our first work, where a man who had been in church for 20 years never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He thought you had to go to, you could go to heaven through baptism. Oh, Brother Wayne, I'm sorry, I can't get baptized because I'm not ready to get saved. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not through baptism.
Amen.
Not through church membership. Not because you're trying to make someone feel good, you just said a prayer. No, it's by you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross in order for you to be reconciled to a holy and righteous God. And it's only through Him. He is the bridge in order for you to get to God. We have a ministry of reconciliation. As an ambassador, representing who? Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead. In doing so, we were able to reach Sarah Johnson. We were able to reach Maggie. We were able to reach Tommy. We were able to reach a gypsy family by Tony and Ann. In so doing, we were able to reach six other families up near Scotland. All because as we stood and represented the Lord Jesus Christ, we understood that we represented a supreme God, begging them to come to God through Jesus Christ. But secondly, we represent a Savior God. Look at verse 20. We pray you in Christ's stead that we're begged, meaning that we represent a faithful ministry that Jesus Christ will never give up on you. We represent a faithful witness, represent an individual that is willing to reach the world and beyond because of His sacrifice, because of His obedience. In so doing, we are able to reach a sinner. As a born-again Christian, we have a ministry to act in Christ's stead as an ambassador commissioned by Christ to go ye into all the world. This week, there is a big responsibility. We beg you in Christ's stead. We beg you in Christ's stead. Paul is telling the church, I beg you, come back to God.
Yep.
These are the very things that motivate me, that keeps me moving forward. As these individuals that try to deter you crashed my name and everything, I haven't quit. These are the things that keeps me motivated for the third missionary journey. He said, these are the very things. Why? Because I beg you in Christ's stead. Because God used me to reach you. That keeps me moving forward.
Yep. Yep.
But may that keep you moving forward.
Amen.
Why? Because an ambassador is standing before you. We beg you in Christ's stead. Do your part here. As He was telling the church of Corinth, as we do our part overseas. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come to You tonight and we thank You for the Apostle Paul. Thank You for his message. Thank You, dear God, for him loving those people so much. He sent messengers over. He sent letters over. He sent a harsh letter over because He loved him so much. But as an ambassador, He was willing to stand and beg them in Christ's stead. Tonight, maybe you've been a little bit distant from God. Maybe you have not really committed what God wanted you to do. Maybe you didn't surrender what God wanted you to do last night. But that's okay. God knows. But God wants you to think about the ministry that you have. to think about the commitment He wants you to commit to this week. But tonight, whatever God would have you to do, would you give heed to it? Will you surrender to it? Will you be a servant in this church? Will you learn to be an ambassador? Will you learn about the very individual and who you represent? And that's Jesus. In order to reach your neighbors, your family, Paul said, we beg you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. For we have a ministry of reconciliation. Father, we pray that you do this very thing. In Jesus' name, amen.